Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. If you want to have a natural childbirth, meaning delivering your baby with no or minimal medical interventions, New York may not be the easiest place to do it. Now, despite our progressive reputation on many things, New York lags behind many other states in terms of the number of birthing centers available to expecting mothers. If you don't know about these, neither homes nor hospitals, birth centers claim to offer the best of both worlds. Midwifery care in a home-like environment doesn't feel like a hospital, generally. With basic equipment on site, however, and a plan to transfer to the hospital if medically necessary. Texas has more than 70 such centers, and California has about 40. In contrast, New York State has just 3. Here with me now to talk about why that is and the implications for mothers of different circumstances is journalist Julie Satow. Her latest article for the New York Times is called Why New York Lags So Far Behind on Natural Childbirth. Julie, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you for having me.
So why does New York lag so far behind?
I think there's a few issues at play. One is obviously real estate. It's expensive to open a birthing center here. And there's also a regulatory issue. In New York State, physicians have to oversee a birthing center, which is not the case in other states. And in fact, New York State did pass a law 2 years ago to change this, but the Department of Health has never implemented the regulations needed to get the new law in place. So basically, it's status quo. So I say that's a major barrier to entry.
Can you talk about the demand for natural childbirth in the United States and the reasons an expecting mother might want one?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it is women want a choice. They want to be able to have an unmedicated birth if that's what they want and they're low risk, or to have a medicated birth. I think part of it is that C-section rates, cesarean section rates, have really been increasing. And a lot of women are looking at that and saying, why is that? And, you know, they want to try to avoid that. And typically trying to have a natural birth, you know, would help, you know, eliminate that possibility of having a C-section.
And is it a choice that's made equally along socioeconomic and racial lines?
No, there's clearly, I mean, in terms of natural versus not natural, possibly, but I think it's more about, you know, there's clearly a racial disparity. In New York City, you know, women, you know, African-American women have a 12 times higher likelihood of dying from pregnancy-related issues than white women. So clearly there's an issue there. New York is trying to deal with that. They have a new pilot program in place, and you know, Brooklyn has some programs that they're offering to women, free doula services, things like that. I mean, part of it is more about bias in hospitals or bias with the medical profession and lack of support, lack of a doula, things like that.
Are you saying that the higher African-American woman mortality and complications rate could be in part from a lack of access to natural childbirth?
I don't know. I don't know if that is true. Clearly, you know, it's been shown that natural childbirth can be very safe and a very good option for low-risk women. I think the issue with racial disparities more has to do with bias and systemic problems.
So listeners, tell us your story. Help us report this story. Did you have or want a natural childbirth? What was your experience? Did you go to one of the 3 freestanding birthing centers in New York, if you're a New Yorker, or a birthing center inside one of New York's hospitals? Those also exist. What was your experience? Did you get the care you needed? Or maybe you're a doula or a midwife or an obstetrician. Call in too and talk about the supply and demand issues when it comes to mothers seeking natural birth support in New York and what there actually is to offer. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 for Julie Satow, who's got a New York Times article on this called Why New York Lags So Far Behind on Natural Childbirth. What about that kind of midway point that I just referenced there? Hospital settings where a midwife has, I guess you'd call it, admitting privileges and can basically preside over a birth naturally if it goes well enough to not need any kind of medication. And then they only call in the MDs if necessary.
I mean, that's the system in a lot of the world. And there are midwives on staff in some hospitals in New York, and there are midwives certainly who have those kind of privileges. The issue is that in a typical labor and delivery floor, you may not have the same kind of support for that you would in a birthing center, in an in-hospital birthing center, or a freestanding birthing center.
Let's take a phone call. Melanie in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hi, Melanie.
Hi, Brian. I'm not a first-time caller, but I'm a long-time listener, and I thought I'd have to chime in on this one because I faced this issue in 1994 when my daughter was delivered here in Manhattan. That was just at the beginning. There's basically two movements in the natural childbirth. There's the what they call prepared delivery, the Lamaze method that most women practice. And then there's the Bradley method, which is if you're really serious about having a baby naturally, that's the one that you choose. So, of course, I chose the Bradley. And it was so difficult to have that baby delivered in a hospital. They fought me every step of the way. But fortunately, she was. And, they prepare you. They put what they call a hep lock in your arm. You allow them to do that. If the baby is monitored, if anything seriously is wrong with the baby, they can tell by monitoring the baby. And at that point, you're like ready to have that baby delivered. However, will make the baby safe. But to be truly ready for a natural birth, you can't be in a hospital because the first thing they want to do is give you pertussis. They want to like med you. They want to prepare you. And at the first sign of any kind of trouble, they want to do a C-section. And, the chances of having a natural childbirth, I think even to this day, remain outside the hospital. And also, I want to say the Lamaze method, it's a rapid breathing, when you're delivering. The Bradley method teaches you that really cuts off oxygen to the baby and yourself. I mean, just try doing that, you know. It really is a dangerous sort of method, so I just wanted to pipe in with that as well. Thank you.
Melanie, thank you very much. So that brings up, she brought up many things, but one of them is pressure, even in those situations we just referred to a minute ago, where there's sort of a birthing center with midwives inside a hospital, and then you revert to the MDs and more technological intervention if necessary, that there's pressure from the hospital to go there quicker than a midwife and a mother might choose otherwise. Does your reporting indicate that?
Yeah, I mean, they're very, hospitals are extremely risk averse in general, for many reasons. And it's difficult to get into a in-hospital birthing center. They have a long list of requirements. Women are often risked out, even if they'd been given approval to go there. And there's also staffing issues at play that make it hard for women to access it. So, in my reporting, a lot of times women who had every approval in place and were expecting to go to the birthing center were not allowed in for a menu of reasons.
And I see that the situation like that, the one inside a hospital, inside maternity units, but that also build themselves as birthing centers, the one you focused on in your article is the one in the Mount Sinai West complex, and it's about to close.
Yeah. There'll only be one in-hospital birthing center left in New York City. It only has two rooms. And, according to my reporting, it has many of the same issues that Mount Sinai West had, which is it's very hard for women to get in. It's often used just as a regular labor and delivery room. I had an example of a woman who was approved to give birth there. When she arrived in labor, she was told that the birthing center was closed. They put her in supposedly a traditional labor and delivery room, except it was actually the birthing center room that was being used as a regular labor and delivery, and she was not allowed to use any of the birthing accoutrements that would have helped her have a natural birth, and she ended up with an epidural. So,
Judy in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Brian. So I had a similar experience. I have two daughters, and they're 18 months apart. And the first daughter I had with a regular doctor and a doula, but my doctor was great, and he kind of allowed me to have what was almost a natural child. It was a natural childbirth, meaning I didn't have any drugs, but I wasn't in a birthing center. So when I was pregnant with my second daughter, I went full down the road of natural childbirth, and I didn't have a doctor scheduled. I had a midwife, and I was supposed to give birth at St. Luke's Roosevelt Birthing Center. And when I got there, they did some tests on me, and then I guess I was a little naive, and I didn't realize that they were indicating something was wrong, and they had me sign some paperwork that said So they said I couldn't have a natural childbirth, and then they asked me to sign some paperwork saying that if I needed to have an emergency C-section, I was giving my permission. As soon as I put my pen down, they threw me in a wheelchair and literally ran me down the hallway of the hospital, through, up the elevator, running me into the emergency room. And I mean, I was incredibly scared, and I felt almost, I was very unprepared for this. It wasn't in my birthing plan at all. And I felt a little negligent because I didn't know what medical doctor was there. I didn't know who the anesthesiologist was. And I basically gave myself over to a group of people that I had never met before. And, you know, it was like full drugs, the whole thing, the Pitocin, everything that I had wanted to avoid, and which I did avoid with my other birth. And
Did you feel that they medically overreacted to whatever it was that you came in with?
I mean,
still there? Yeah. Did we lose Judy's line? Well, maybe we did. So, Julie, have you heard stories like that?
Yeah, unfortunately, Judy's story is quite common, I think, in a lot of ways. You know, hospitals are very, you know, the malpractice insurance is obviously very high, and they want to be very careful. In my reporting, I found that, you know, for Mount Sinai West last year, less than 20% of women who wanted to give birth at the birthing center actually did.
Let's take a call from a midwife. Calling in from New Mexico. Hillary, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, and I've called you before, and I am licensed in both New York and New Mexico, and I'm also very active in national midwifery politics. So I wanted to point up a few things. Number one is that CMS, and this is the Federal Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services, just put out a very big study that they did on birth centers. And what they found is that they ranked well above what they called maternity homes and group prenatal cares in outcomes, and that they cost over $2,000 less per woman, and this was with Medicaid women, and they came up with fewer cesareans, lower low birth weight, lower preterm birth, and more vaginal births after cesareans. And this was looking at birth centers across the country, the vast majority of which are midwife operated. And so I wanted to get back to the point that New York regulations, which say that doctors have to be the owners or medical directors of birth centers, have been stifling the development of birth centers in New York. And another thing, there's a group that's called that is the Birthplace Lab, and they put out outcomes on different states. So So in New Mexico, for example, we have over 26% of our births attended by midwives, whereas in New York, it's about 10%. Mm. And we have better outcomes in terms of perinatal mortality, in terms of cesareans. You know, so the idea that having a doctor as a medical director is going to be giving you improved outcomes has not been borne out in any other state.
Hillary, I'm curious, since you're a midwife practicing in both these states, if you think the difference is, for any reason that you know, I realize you're doing a practice, so I don't expect you to be an expert on politics, but is there more of a doctor's lobby in New York making the law
yes,
what it is?
Most definitely. I worked on the midwifery law in 1993 there, and when I went back to New York in the early 2000s and compared the practice, I felt like I was practicing, I told people, with one hand tied behind my back because of the pressure of the lack of support for midwifery practices. And here there's incredible support for midwifery practices. And yes, I do think that medical societies in New York have tied the hands of midwives.
Hillary, thank you so much for your call. Julie Satow?
Yeah, thanks, Hillary. I think you make some interesting points. I do think it's important that, you know, in my reporting, I found that there is a lot of tension in hospitals between the midwifery practices that operate there and the physicians. Obviously, they come at things slightly differently, and there is an inherent conflict there, and I think that is a big issue in why we don't see a stronger midwifery presence here in New York. The other thing I would mention that we haven't really talked about is just this issue of insurance reimbursements. For hospitals, you know, basically insurance companies reimburse hospitals based on medical interventions. So the more medical interventions there are, the more they are reimbursed. And there's been studies that show that, you know, hospitals are paid about 50% more for when they do a cesarean versus a vaginal birth. So I think that also is an issue that needs to be raised.
And I wonder why it's not more common to have the kinds of limitations that we see in New York. In other states around the country, I would think, especially with, with litigation, with the potential for really expensive lawsuits, either birthing centers would close after some incidents, or hospitals would close their in-hospital birthing centers after there have been an expensive lawsuit or two.
I mean, there certainly has been lawsuits against birthing centers and obstetricians. I mean, malpractice insurance is incredibly high for them, and that's part of the issue. But I agree that obviously is in my reporting, that wasn't a driving factor of what people were discussing. Mm. And there has been more and more studies showing that like Hillary said, that there's been some data now gathered that birthing centers are not necessarily less safe for low risk women. And it should be said we're talking mostly, about low risk women.
My guest is Julie Satow, who has an article in The Times called "Why New York Lags So Far Behind on Natural Childbirth." And if you're just joining us, it's largely about why there are so few freestanding birthing centers in New York State compared to other states, or even sort of in-hospital birthing centers where there's more of an emphasis on midwifery and natural childbirth practices. Here's a tweet that we got from a listener kind of pushing back, Julie. It mm-hmm. says, "I'm concerned this conversation is only telling one half of the story. Specifically, no doctors have participated in the conversation. Doulas and midwives cannot deliver the same services, and doctors such as postnatal hemorrhage or emergencies in the newborn," and that's not exactly a grammatical sentence, but you get the idea.
Yeah, no, and that's absolutely a good point. And clearly, like I said, we're talking about low-risk women, and clearly there's a need for physicians and medical interventions all the time, and that's very valid and important, and I think a lot of women feel that way. That's why they would like access to in-hospital birthing centers where a physician is down the hall, so you don't have that same, you know, there isn't that same amount of risk. So I would agree with that. I did in my reporting, I called the hospitals, I called the Greater New York Hospital Association, and they did not want to provide me with a comment or an interview. So
let's take another call. William in Montclair, you're on WNYC. Hi, William.
Hi, Brian. Thanks so much for taking my call. This is a topic that's near and dear to my heart. As both my daughters, one is 4 and the other is 1.5 years old, were born in out-of-hospital settings. My older daughter was born at the Brooklyn Birthing Center in 2014, which mm-hmm. at the time was the only freestanding birthing center that was in the 5 boroughs. And then when we moved to New Jersey about 8-9 months later, and we started trying to have our second child, we discovered there weren't any birthing centers in New Jersey. So rather than go back in the direction of a traditional hospital, or I shouldn't say traditional, actually, it's kind of the opposite, a modern hospital birth, we went, you know, full-fledged home birth with our second. And I have to say, like, both experiences were incredible from many different vantage points. The number one was that throughout pregnancy, not only during the actual births, but, you know, the care that my wife received from the very early part of pregnancy was in an out-of-hospital, midwife, woman-focused setting, which empowered her to make her own choices, you know, as far as the type of birth that she wanted to have. And we were extremely fortunate to have excellent health insurance that covered, mm-hmm. you know, the cost of both of them, which were both cheaper than if they had been in hospitals.
William, I'm going to rush you along a little bit because we're going to run out of time, but I think you're making the overarching point that when we're talking about natural childbirth, it's a lot more than medicated versus non-medicated, right?
That's exactly my point. Thank you. That was what I told your screener. It's really not just about whether they get epidural. It's really about is the process from, you know, from the very early part of pregnancy to after, to the postpartum period, a woman-centered process where, you know, when women are advocating for themselves and have other women and supportive partners advocating mm-hmm. on their behalf as well, doulas, midwives, and, you know, fathers right. and partners.
Which your experience is doesn't exist enough within the traditional medical establishment. Obviously, William, thank you very much. You know, Julie, we are getting a little bit of pushback on this point. Like somebody wrote, can you all say vaginal childbirth or drug-free childbirth
right.
instead of natural.
Natural, yes.
This says we C-section women didn't have a vaginal birth, but the pregnancy was natural and we are natural animals.
Yes, absolutely. And I couldn't agree more. I myself have had 2 cesareans, so I view that as a natural process. I agree, and I know that people do feel that way. I think colloquially that is how it's termed. And as William was saying, it's a bit complicated because just to say vaginal or non-medicated versus medicated doesn't necessarily take into the fact, you know, whether it's a female-centric or mother-centric experience, if there's, you know, the entire sort of environment that the woman is giving birth in. So I think it's a tricky question, and I totally see the validity in it, but I also think that there is a reason why natural is the word, and it means more than just non-medicated versus medicated.
I see in the Mount Sinai West case where they're going to close their birthing center within the hospital. It's going to be replaced, you report, by 13 neonatal intensive care unit beds and 15 private postpartum rooms where mothers rest after giving birth, and you report that this renovation could motivate other private hospitals in the city to make similar changes. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, I think, as one doula said to me, you know, it's sort of this race in some ways to kind of how much like a hotel can a hospital be. You know, in 2020, there's a new hospital opening that's going to have 75 postpartum rooms, private postpartum rooms for women. These rooms in New York, for most private hospitals are not covered by insurance. They cost, you know, $900 or more. They're very expensive. Otherwise, most women would share a postpartum room, which is quite unusual. So, you know, I think there's a race toward sort of trying to find those type of patients in New York. So that seems to be where the focus is.
And that would increase the divide between haves and have-nots, it sounds like.
Absolutely. And I would say, you know, if you're thinking of having a natural birth or want to have an unmedicated birth in New York, you should also look at, there's many hospitals that I think people don't necessarily, you know, not all women necessarily would think of. We highlight in the story Metropolitan in East Harlem, which have midwives on staff, and there's others too, Brooklyn Hospital, Woodhull, that are all great options that might not, you know, many women may not automatically think of. So.
And is there a legislative solution to the shortage of birthing centers in New York? Is there any policy push?
Well, I think, you know, the Department of Health hopefully said that it's going to be working on these regulations so they can implement this law, which has already passed. And New York State is also looking at trying to figure out how they can have Medicaid coverage for doulas, which I think will make a really impact on some of the racial disparities and provide more doula options for more women. So I think there is, you know, and there is motivation. There's a, you know, NPR and ProPublica did some great work on this, and there is a pilot program that New York State is doing now to try to address implicit bias in hospitals and to collect more data. So I think there is movement on this.
Julie Satow, her New York Times article is called "Why New York Lags So Far Behind on Natural Childbirth." Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More in a minute.